Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Maine interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Amy. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I can talk about books myself. Who knows? No, I am an author. I've actually written 6, almost 7 YA novels now. Mm-hmm. Just wrote my first adult romance. So I'm really excited about that. I live in Los Angeles. I don't know. I just feel like I'm like every writer. I just love cats and snacks and being on couches under blankets. We're just talking about, it's not that cold in LA right now. It's like in the 50s, but because this is how people in Los Angeles act, I'm wearing a giant sweater. I'm thinking about my matching pajama set that I'm going to put on as soon as I get home and dive under a giant blanket and at least one cat. So yeah, I'm thinking of coziness right now.
Cozy weather is the best thing that we can have. So treat yourself to cozy weather behavior is all we
can. I think especially for people who love to like curl up with a book, it's like, that's what you want, right? Like you don't want it to be, I mean, I will still read when it's hot out, but man, there's nothing like under a blanket with a good book.
Yeah, I agree. I am in the same cozy weather behavior here in Florida, and it's just so good. So I gotta ask you a question. Like, what led you to start writing YA before we dive into your adult debut?
Yeah, I always gravitated toward writing sort of like coming of age stories, stories where teenagers are at the center. And you know, I'm in my 40s. When I was growing up, YA was not how it is now. Mm-hmm. Is way fewer books. You are nodding emphatically. You know what I mean? Like there are a few books that would like win an award, and then there was like Sweet Valley High, and I swear there was barely anything else.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great middle grade. Like, you know, Babysitter's Club was like a formative text for me. Still is. But we just didn't have the other that much. And so when I started writing books about like teenagers and what they were going through, and sometimes they would still have adults in them and have other POVs, but the teenage perspective was so important. I didn't really know that YA existed the way it did. And mm-hmm. So people said like, oh, are you interested in writing YA? I'm like, no, that's like an award-winning book or two blonde twins get everything they want. Yeah. So I didn't understand. And someone was like, here's some book recommendations. Please go to your library and handle yourself. And one of the, like, I read like a Sarah Dessen novel and a Meg Cabot novel. And I was like, I was like, what? This is the best corner of the library. I'm so excited. I sucked down just like every YA I could get my hands on. And it really just made me so excited to write it. So I sort of like started some of my ideas over with the idea of like writing YA on purpose after really diving into this genre that felt like really fresh and new to me.
Yeah.
And it was just really wonderful. And that really makes it seem like I heard about YA, I wrote a book, and then like it was like years of like doing research and trying to get published. And you know, it wasn't like a smooth, but yeah, it was really just, that's the kind of stories I realized I wanted to tell anyway. And it was exciting to sort of find out that there was a place for them.
I love this. And I have to say, yes, the 90s were Babysitter's Club. That was my entry level. I grew up in Puerto Rico. So Babysitter's Club was like the first book that I got from Toys R Us. Like that was where we got the books. It was just a random place. And then I graduated Sweet Valley High and there was like nothing. It was just like serials. They were like mass produced. Yeah. Probably ghost written by, you know, someone in school.
100%, yeah.
You know, had an outline and just like produced this magic that I will just be binging on, you know, every day.
Yes.
So it's kind of like me that I'm so grateful, like the genre has grown and it has shifted and it's actually much more inclusive and diverse. And there's so much representation, so much like, you know, things that are striving is happening in the genre that, you know, that didn't happen.
Just like the kinds of stories too, because
yeah,
like I said, it really felt like you were getting like fluff. And by the way, I love fluff and no shitting on fluff here, but you know, it was either something really light and sort of like candy, or it was like a serious tome. And
Yes.
like, I think I often want the thing in the middle, you know, like I
Yeah.
want some really strong writing, but I also want shenanigans and kissing and like fun things too. So I'm glad that like YA is sort of like, oh, do you like that? Great, there's a book for you. Oh, do you like something scary? Great, there's a book for you. Oh, do you like something like, you know, a little more like a mystery that's hard to figure out? Great, here's like, there's just something for everyone. And I think it's a really great thing about how the genre's opened up. Plus, like you said, representation of different identities, marginalized voices. It just, I feel like it gets better all the time.
Yes, it has. And so, what led you to decide to write an adult novel, a romance novel, you know?
Yeah, I love how I'm like, great, here's why I love YA. Anyway, that's not what I'm here to talk about. So during, I will say, I wrote it during the pandemic. I joked that it was like my sourdough starter, that like everyone needed a little project that like had no bearing on the rest of their life. So that's like my short, cute answer. The real answer is that I started reading, we'll get into it in the book recommendations, but I didn't really read romance. I read it when I was younger, especially because there wasn't a lot of romance, YA, et cetera. So like you kind of, I feel like we all tended to read up and read adult romance back then. It kind of fell out of reading it, and I didn't really have it on my radar. And then I read a romance that felt really fresh and modern and exciting to me. And I didn't think, it didn't make me want to write one. It made me go, oh, that's really great. I'm glad people are writing this. And then the more I read, I was like, a lot of these books were heterosexual. And I was like, I wish there were queer books like this. And then the great thing is, and by the way, first of all, I know that indie writers have been doing this for ages. There's so many good queer self-published books out there. So like, I just wanted to see something like mass produced, put out there for a big audience with a publisher like 100% like, read this gay book. And it wasn't quite there when I started thinking about it. And then luckily, it started to sort of open up. And I thought like, well, maybe there is space for me to do this if it just felt like more possible. And then I still felt overwhelmed by it. I still sort of thought like, well, I don't do this. Other people do it. Like, I'll stick to my own lane. And then, yeah, during the pandemic, it was sort of like, well, what else am I doing? I had to wait to, I had written a YA book, like a proposal of one. I was waiting to hear back on it. And so I thought, well, like, I can't write another one. I'm waiting to sell this one. I don't want to have all these like books jammed up. So I should just write a different genre. And I was like, maybe I'll write middle grade. And I was like, you know, you just want to write a book where people make out. You can't write about like 12-year-olds. Like, what are you doing? I read all this middle grade and I was like, man, these kids like are so good and well behaved. I just feel like I always want kids who get into shenanigans, or adults who get into shen. Oh, maybe let's see what happens. So yeah, it was the pandemic. It was during lockdown, and I thought like, if it's terrible, no one knows what I was working on. I'm like, oh, like locked up in my apartment, you know?
Well, I have to tell you, I am so grateful. I've been doing this podcast since 2017, but 2020 was a big year of a lot of pandemic interviews. And so I remember hearing a lot of authors who were like either struggling with writing or writing different things or just having different projects. And so it's funny enough, 2 or 3 years later, now seeing all these pandemic babies, you know,
Yes.
projects, they're like, here's what I did, you know,
So true.
like, it's like, here's what I accomplished.
And I do think if you're trying something new, you can really get in your head about it and feel like, oh, is this okay? Am I like, should I be trying something different? Will anyone like it? Do I know what I'm doing? And there was such a freedom in sort of like, no one knows, no one cares.
Yeah.
Everyone's just trying to survive this year.
We're just starting to get toilet paper, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly. So it's like, yeah, I can write a book and throw it out if it's garbage. I don't care. And then
Yeah.
it turned out, I was like, I don't think it's garbage. I think it's going okay. Great.
No, it was really good. So let's talk about For Her Consideration. Tell us the elevator pitch and all about it.
Yeah, so For Her Consideration is, I mean, it's queer romance. It's set in LA, and it's about a woman, Nina, who writes the emails for celebrities, et cetera. And she falls for one of the celebrities she writes the emails for. So that is sort of my short pitch. Obviously, shenanigans ensue.
Shenanigans ensue, great found family, friend group, lots of awesome grandmother figure. Like it's all this, like all the fun things that you can have. A retirement home, you know, Thursday
And you
lunch.
don't really think like, oh, retirement home when you think like what's hot in a romance, but I had so much fun writing about the retirement home.
The retirement home was great. Like even the whole idea of living in the suburbs, like living so and making LA be like it's like foreign country, you know. Like you're basically explaining, you know, it's just like I think it's the same sense that I got because I'm from New York. So it's like if you're talking about someone who, I live in Manhattan and you're telling me you go to New Jersey, you live in New
Yes.
Jersey, it's like a freaking foreign country. I'm not gonna go there.
Yeah, you're like, explain what it's like. How do you get there? How
Yeah,
long does it take?
like the ability. I think Ari's visiting, and she's like, "I want to go to TJ Fridays." Like, you know, going to
Yes.
like the red chain restaurants. You know, like
No,
it's
you're like,
like,
I have LA for cool things. I want to go to suburban things. That's where I am.
yeah. So I love that. Like, 'cause I was like, I can actually identify that in like living in the East Coast and the same stuff. So it's kind of like fun. And then Ari is like an up and coming actor who is an indie darling and is like, you know, she's difficult for her agent, but we meet her and she's not that difficult. You know, we
Yeah,
just
she's
like.
really, I think Hollywood has an expectation though for actors. I feel like I see this. I feel like what people are sort of like, you're this type of person or you're this type of person. And I felt like she's like, no, you don't tell me who I am. And like everyone's like, wait, what? What? And again, that doesn't feel like that much to ask, but in this
So
industry, it feels like a big thing.
it feels like a big thing. And so what was an inspiration about the cat? Harry's cat. I think it's like it's telling.
I would love to say I had some like great inspiration. I really think that I have cats. I already introduced myself as a person who loves cats. I think
Yeah.
the funny thing about owning a cat is like you love your cat so much and you're like, this cat has the greatest personality of any creature I've ever met. And then someone comes over and your cat hides under a sofa and you're like, I promise he's under there. He's so cool if you met him. And then he comes out and he's like, So I just thought there was something really funny about like never seeing the cat.
Yeah.
And then it just, when I realized that the cat hadn't been seen, I was like, oh, I'm gonna have fun with this.
I love this. The cat has never been seen, and how like the mysterious cat who is like, but we feed him, but we don't see him.
The food disappears.
It
I
disappears.
mean, if you've ever cat sat for someone, this is like what happens too, of like
Yeah.
you go, you leave food, and then you come back and the food's gone, and you're like, all right, I guess someone was here. Hope it was a
Yeah.
cat.
Yep. So, oh, so good. Are you working on any other adult romance or any other?
I am writing. I actually just turned in my first draft yesterday, believe it or not. It was late, so if you're tracking the timing at home, I'm so sorry. That's the sorriest to my editor and my agent, who are
Yeah.
very patient. Yeah, it's another. We haven't announced anything yet, but I will just say it is another adult book. It is maybe set in the same universe.
Love this. I love
So a
this.
little Hollywood, a little other stuff.
I love this. And thank you for writing a queer Hollywood representation, you know.
I mean,
So
I like you, also love a Hollywood story, Hollywood adjacent, anything
yeah.
Hollywood. It's always one of my favorite romance reads. So it was fun to dive in there. I mean, there's other, it's not the first queer Hollywood one out there, but I am very proud to be part of the group.
Yes, I love this and yay. So let's chat some book recommendations. So you mentioned that you discover romance, you know, again, you
Yeah, sort
later
of
in
like a
life, you know,
rediscovery.
yeah, rediscovery of romance. What was the book that led you to that? What was the gateway book?
Well, I'm sure it's a book many of you are familiar with, but it was The Wedding Day by Jasmine Guillory.
Yep.
It just felt very sharp and now when I read it. And not to say other romances weren't doing that as well, but I just hadn't been keeping up. And that was actually the best part is that I read that book and I was like, what? So good. It's so funny. It's so sexy. It's like all and like also like really feminist and has stuff about work and family. It's not just about like a love story. And then I was like, wait, there's a whole genre out there that I've not explored that has books like this. It was like the greatest. It's like the greatest discovery slash like very bad for my TBR pile, which is like always like, metaphorically toppling over. So yeah, it was just so exciting to kind of fall back into a genre. But I also think the genre made a lot of really cool updates and like was also like YA, more representation, more diverse voices, more like different kinds of stories.
Yeah. So I love this. I love the fact that you were the gateway drug. It's like, there are certain books that just open up the door for this whole genre that's, continues to grow and continues to evolve. And there's so much has been done,
Yeah, it's a great thing, because it's like, if that was the only book like that, it would be great, but also disappointing, because then you're like, well, I read it, what's left? And it's like, no, Amy, there is a whole section in the bookstore. Keep going.
So, do you have any other books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah, I wrote down, oh no, it reloaded. Oh no, I found it. I wrote down like five favorite books, including that one. And I will say, I do read a lot of romance, but I read a lot of other books too. And I feel like I wanted to like just talk about books I really loved. Most of these you've probably heard, like these aren't going to be like, ooh, like what a weird pick. I've never heard. No, these are like popular books, but I love talking about books I love. So why not? The book I always list as my favorite is Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro. I don't know if anyone's read this or watched the film. Oh my gosh. Well, it's very heartbreaking. And it's sort of like light sci-fi-ish set in England. And I don't even like giving anything away, because like the reveal is like what makes you start to fall apart and cry. So anyway, but it's a coming of age story. It's a, friendship and romance story, also just like bleak and very British. I love it. I love all of his works, but this is the one that always gets me. So you
Add
want just a
it
depressing but
into
beautiful British story,
the
go for it. I also a little depressing in places, but beautiful enough to inspire a musical. Fun Home by Alison Bechdel is a graphic memoir. I love it so much. I also have had like magical experiences about this, because I like got the book from the library and I sat down at a coffee shop to read it, and a man came over and he said, "Are you just about to read this book for the first time?" And I said, "Yes." And he's like, "I'm so jealous of you. I wish I could read that book again for the first time. I love it so much." And I was like, "Whoa, a stranger likes this book enough to tell me that." And then I read it and it was like, "Ugh, the way she captures, it's such a specific family, but it's also like it's so relatable, and there's so many things it brings up about your own family. I love it so much." I also love the musical, but I loved the book first. And then I was at Comic-Con and I got in line to meet Alison Bechdel, and they ran out of books as I walked up. I was like the first person who they ran out of books for. And then a woman who worked at the bookstore said, like, "I will give you my book. I can tell this means more to you than to me." And so she gave me her book. So I was like, this is the second time a stranger has been like amazing to me about Fun Home. So
I saw the play. I saw the musical actually in New York. It's like random, play. I had no idea what to expect, and I was pleasantly amazed at how good it was,
so good. I just,
So.
yeah, I will just say I saw it a lot of times on Broadway. This is my favorite book of the year this year, past year. Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin. I know this is on a lot of people's lists, but this book is so good. It has stuck with me so much. The main characters are the heart of the story. I think about them like they're friends I used to have, or also because I'm old, like kids I want to protect. And I'm not a video game person. I mean, I like play Wordle and Candy Crush, but this world was so sharply realized, and like I felt it so much. I want to push this book into everyone's hands. I feel like it's one of those books that's for everyone. So it's fun. It's also deep. It's also really heartbreaking. So please read it, everyone. I have nothing to do with this book either. I'm just like, I need you all to read it. I don't even need to talk to you about it. I just want to know everyone's read it.
It's all good.
Also, I will say this is like a it's like a side recommendation along with it, but if you liked that book and you haven't yet watched the old AMC series Halt and Catch Fire, you should watch it. It is exactly in the same vein. Or if you watch Halt and Catch Fire and haven't read the book yet, it's just smart, creative tech people getting shit done. And I love stories about people who love what they're working on and feel inspired by working with others. So I like how that comes together. Back in my queer world, I wanted to talk about Call Me by Your Name, which I did read after seeing the movie, but the novel is so beautifully written. It just has this sort of like magical, dreamy quality to it. And I think it is like one of the best things ever written about desire. Both the pining part of it and the realized, actualized part of it. I think it just it nails something about being a teenager and having the biggest thing in your world just be like wanting this other person to, you know, about the benefit and detriment of the rest of your life and how it can be all consuming. I think there's such a beauty in how Andre Aciman writes it. And anytime that I'm sort of like, I want to write something where there's a lot of longing, I will like reread sections of that book. And it's like, it's like the right inspiration for me.
So good.
It's good I wrote these down, or I'd be like, I don't, what's a book? I couldn't tell you.
I understand completely. So, Amy, tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, I am on Twitter for now until it gets shut down. I will not leave Twitter. You'll have to like pry it out of my dead hands. The Ames, Theames. I'm on Instagram, That Ames. I don't know why I do these differently, but I'm sticking to it. Thatames. And my website is theamyspalding.com, where you can find links to all those things so you don't have to type in my bizarre usernames and sign up for my newsletter, which I've been told by multiple people is good.
I love this. I'm signing up for your newsletters for
Do
sure. So
it.
thank you, Amy, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This was, I mean, anytime where I just get to talk about books I love is one of the greatest talks I'm going to have that day.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.